90.7 the Capstone, they have the best sports staff ever. Well, except for mine. But they're good. But not as good as mine.
Welcome in, everyone. Student section here. Monday edition on 90.7 The Capstone. I am your host, Joe Klingbell. My two co-hosts alongside me, as always, Johnny Condon, Cameron Two. How are y'all doing today?
We're back.
We're back, baby.
The crew
we're,
is
we're
back.
We're one short, but we're back.
We're back. And as you all know, our listeners, us three, we're on the same Thursday show last year with our sports director, Luke DeVos, as host. And we all know he has taken over the sports director role, so he is no longer with us today. He's with us
in spirit.
I'm looking at him right now. He's not dead. Why are we memorializing him?
I mean, we had a great run, and we're back for some even more fun here on Mondays, opening up the week for our viewers and for the sports world.
Hey, but he found a way to sneak in here. Oh, we see you, Luke. Don't hide from us.
It's going to be a great year. You know, it's our first show as a group for Brooklyn since last year.
I think I just unplugged Cam's headphones. I'm so sorry if I did that.
It's okay.
We got a little crossing going on.
We are getting off to a great start here, folks, on 90.7 The Capstone, the student section. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Ground running.
I think the big news of the day in the past few hours, I mean, Jake Arrieta. I mean, we both watched it. I mean, all three of us watched it. Incredible, incredible stuff. Incredible game. No hitter. Really just, I mean, took down the Dodgers. I mean, Dodgers been no hit twice in the last 9 days.
I don't know what was more flashy, his pitching performance or the mustache pajamas that he wore in his post-game interview. Mean,
unreal.
I was at first when I saw him, you know, in the press conference, I was wondering to myself, what is he wearing? But then I realized, Joe Madden, and he likes to, you know, have his themed road trips, and it was great to see him, you know, get the no hitter on onesie night where they all dressed up in their onesie pajamas. That was hilarious to me.
To speak the performance as a whole, Jake Arrieta, what did he have? 88 pitches going into the eighth inning? He was able to throw this no. What do you got, 113, 115 pitches when it was all said and done? He was dominant.
Yeah, and then you're playing in Los Angeles, so the weather, sub 75 degrees, no humidity. Yeah, he could have probably thrown 200 pitches if he had to.
I mean, he's not sweating. He's not working up a sweat. He's very comfortable in that stadium in Chavez Ravine. Usually, you know, it's about 75 degrees. You're getting a nice little breeze here and there. But, I mean, what kind of month this guy has had? He's 6-0. A sub 0.5 ERA in the month of August, I mean, has taken a hold of the Chicago team ace position away from John Lester and said, you know what, I'm gonna come out every single game and get it done. As I mentioned earlier, his stats in the month of August. I'll ask you guys right now: is he the front runner in the Cy Young award race? And if not, who is?
Cam thinks he is.
Cam. Oh, yeah, by far. He's my front runner, no doubt, in the Cy Young. I mean, obviously, early on in the season, Max Scherzer's name was thrown out there. Zach Greinke's still in contention for Los Angeles, but the month that he's had so far in August has really put him at the forefront, in my opinion, to win the NL Cy Young, especially what the Cubs are doing on offense. You know, they're clicking on all cylinders on the offensive side of things, on the defense, the pitching. It's all there, and so the no-hitter just puts the icing on the cake for me. I think Jake Arrieta's, it's his award to lose now.
I'm going to go with Greinke because of his Pedro-like ERA. You're looking at a 1.61 ERA. He's fanned 164 batters this year with a 14-3 record. I think there's no more electric curveball in all of baseball than Zach Greinke. When he gets that 12-6 drop, makes hitters look absolutely silly. We're talking the best hitters in the world, and he just makes them look like complete fools. And right now, I would agree, right now all the momentum is headed towards Arrieta, but I'm going to point to Joe's boy, Madison Bumgarner, 5-0 in his last five starts.
Yeah.
I'm never going to count that guy out, especially when you look what he did in the postseason
and
last year.
You know what's sad is that for Greinke and Kershaw and those guys, you know, they're so talented and they're some of the best starters in the game, no doubt. But in Los Angeles in particular, you don't have that bullpen. Their bullpen is horrendous. So any start, any quality effort that they give is usually diminished from that just awful bullpen down there in Los Angeles.
One of my fun facts about Greinke, we're going to get into the NL race a little thicker as it gets really close between both San Francisco and Los Angeles. But Greinke has started at least 6 innings in his last 26 starts. That's unbelievable.
Even it's
in 26 starts, you think you'd get shelled at least once.
Another point to bring up in this race is quality starts.
Mm-hmm.
And both Arrieta and Greinke and all these guys have thrown in quality starts. But what Johnny just said with Greinke just having these scoreless innings and these outings, which are just unbelievable, it really puts him ahead of the race. And I think in my mind, it does. I mean, what this guy did earlier this season, the scoreless inning streak and just going out there, pitching 7 to 8 innings every single game and giving his team a chance to win. He's done it over the course of the season. Arrieta has been incredible since the All-Star break. Just absolutely out of this world. But, I mean, the Dodgers are still in first place.
3.5
Dodgers.
Right now. Yep.
So unless something big happens where Madison Bumgarner and the Giants just turn it on and the Dodgers, who we'll get to in a bit, fall off, I think right now it's a dead heat race.
And my one dark horse I wrote down, I'm not saying he's going to win it, but got to keep him in contention, is Michael Wacha. 15-4 with a 2.69 ERA, 134 strikeouts, has been the steady arm for that model of consistency that is the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not getting ready to count him out yet. We got a lot of baseball to play.
A lot of baseball to play, but still, Greinke is missing out on a lot of opportunities to capture those wins. He's 3 under Arrieta, sitting at 14. Arrieta was 17. If Arrieta can get to that 20-win-plus benchmark, you could possibly see that cost Greinke.
And that's one thing I wanted to bring up. Are the wins important?
No, not in my mind.
Are the ERA?
I look at the ERA and the strikeout.
The ERA and the strikeout, or the WHIP as wins, hits, and innings pitched.
I know Cam probably would value the wins a little more than I do. I look at an ERA like Greinke right now at 1.61 and say that's just silly.
So,
but 15 wins in a 1.61 ERA compared to 20 wins and
a 2.11 ERA.
Let's be honest here. I think the Cy Young has to go to Arrieta right there.
That's an interesting thing I wanted to bring up. I mean, a no hitter can get you the stats and everything, but I think over the course of the season, it's been Greinke. I mean, like we said, he's 14-3 right now, 1.6 ERA. Arrieta 17-6. 2.11.
Well, I have you here. We're talking about NL pitchers. Of course, there's no relief pitcher that's going to win. There's no Eric Gagne this year. But when you look at Trevor Rosenthal in St. Louis, you look at Mark Melancon in Pittsburgh, who is your best reliever this year in the NL?
Oh, it's Melancon.
Well, I would agree, too.
Yeah, Rosenthal's up there, but, I mean, Melancon is just, I mean, shutting people down. 43 saves right now, leading the league. Rosenthal's right up there, too. I think the two best teams reside in the National League Central, in St. Louis and in Pittsburgh. I think St. Louis is a step above Pittsburgh right now. But, I mean, it's a coin toss between those guys. And one other pitcher I wanted to bring up is Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole, he's a workhorse for this.
He's always underrated, too.
Always underrated. ESPN has him ranked number 9 in their Cy Young predictor in the National League. 15-7 and just a 2.4 ERA. One guy I wanted to bring up, too, was also Clayton Kershaw. I mean, 11-6 with the 2.4 ERA.
Nothing to sniff at.
Yeah, I mean, if you give anybody those stats, they'll take them. But the fact that it's Kershaw, and the fact that he's been the reigning Cy Young award winner, does he have a shot?
Oh yeah, no doubt he has a shot. Especially if he keeps going out there and putting up performances like he has in the past. That 2.24 ERA could be a sub 2 ERA here in 2 weeks. So you never know with Kershaw. I mean, he's a magician on the mound.
There's no better 1-2 punch in the league than Kershaw and Greinke right now. And I know we're going to talk about this Giants-Dodgers series that's coming up this weekend. They're gonna, unfortunately for Joe's San Francisco Giants, they're going to have to run into both of them.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to split. They're going to have to get it off one because back 3.5, they can't afford to lose 2 of these games. They need to keep that buffer between 3, maybe possibly 2.5 games.
And the perfect segue right into our next little topic here. I mentioned earlier, Daughter's been no hit twice in 9 games. I mean,
is it a trend?
That's what I'm asking. They're reeling a bit. Offense has not been clicking. It's really just it's been Kershaw and Greinke.
And I know we talked about it last night. Can we talk on real quick, Jock Peterson, since the home run derby? Oh, my goodness, it's been abysmal. Would you say he was batting around 212?
He's batting 212 right now in the season. And he was batting 220 at the All-Star break. So it's not like this guy is he's hitting for power, hitting for contact, and average obviously hasn't been there for Jock Peterson, the sensation in the Dodgers organization. But is this a wide-open race right now in the National League West?
I want to say it is. But for San Francisco in particular this year, I think they're too injury plagued to get up there with Los Angeles, regardless of how bad their bullpen actually is. Because let's be honest, if San Francisco was healthy, they would probably have at least a 6-game lead on the Dodgers the way they've been pitching down the stretch since the All-Star break. They've been missing that bat out of Jock Peterson. You know, the power hasn't been there. They're scuffling on all phases in the lineup. So many holes. There are just a lot of problems with this Dodgers team. But I still think they're a lock to make the postseason in my mind.
I mean, they're 3.5 up on the Giants right now. And you look it up. You're looking up and down their stats. They're 44-21 at home.
Mm-hmm.
28-36 on the road.
Yeah,
that's tough. And that's not a playoff. That's not a good playoff team.
And it pains me to pick the Dodgers to hold on to this lead over the Giants because you're looking at a team of perennial losers to a team that has done nothing but win over the last half decade. But I think that lineup's too talented to slump all the way through the dog days. And they got two of the best 5 pitchers in baseball going two of every 5 days. I can't pick against the Dodgers right now.
Well, I was asking you off air, and I'll throw this question back out here for you, Johnny. But Hunter Pence is about to come back for the Giants healthy and ready to go.
What a wild card he is.
And we all know how big his presence is in that lineup. Is that enough to put the Giants up there with the Dodgers and possibly over jump them?
Yeah, I mean, if Hunter Pence brings... He energizes this lineup. If you watch a game,
he's
the catalyst of that team, and he just brings so much energy and just fight to this team. You know, you look back at the World Series run in 2012. I mean, when he was on that team. I mean, in 2014, excuse me. But I mean, just an unbelievable athlete, unbelievable teammate, and it's going to be interesting because I really do think that this. Both teams they're not very impressive this year. Whether you're the Giants, you've been dogged by injuries, or just the Dodgers have played inconsistent baseball. I mean, I don't think any of them deserve it. But if I had to give it to someone, I'm gonna give it to the Dodgers.
But I think it's close now. They have 3 games tonight.
Speaking of
photo finishes, I took the liberty looking deep into September. The final 3 games of the regular season: the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th. L.A. in San Francisco
and the Giants have dominated that series this year.
It could come down to the last weekend of the season.
And we'll be looking forward. That concludes our first segment in Baseball Talk. When we return from the break, our first installment of four down territory, four football questions from the NFL and college football. I'll be asking these guys, and we'll be breaking them down. Don't turn that dial. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone, the student section.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
The mall sure is busy today. Okay, what's on my list? Birthday present for Beth, stop at the electronics store, and then grab a quick bite. Did that guy leave his shopping bag? Looks like there's a package inside, covered in duct tape. Did he leave it on purpose? That can't be right. Excuse me, security? I just noticed that there's a shopping...
We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Hey, shh, listen. Do you hear that? It's your heart. Chances are you take that precious sound for granted. And if you're like a lot of Americans, one-third to be exact, you're not doing anything to prevent heart disease. So what if a cardiologist told you exactly how best to love your heart? Would you listen then? Go to clevelandclinic.org/loveyourheart and learn what really matters and what doesn't when it comes to that lovable heart of yours.
Here at WVUA-FM, we always play to win.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
This is the student section on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're back. 90.7 The Capstone, the student section.
You skipped a few steps, Joe.
Did I?
You went from host, no, excuse me, you went from producer to host, and now you're both.
Yeah.
Doing both. He's multitasking. As long as AC/DC keeps playing, you can produce as long as you'd like, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough job, but you know,
somehow he makes it work.
Not a job tough enough, though, for Joe Klingbom. Yeah.
Best
you're
part of the show.
I enjoy doing it.
Man of many trades.
I wouldn't be anywhere else, wouldn't want to be anywhere else than right here with my two co-hosts, Johnny Condon and Cameron, too. Yeah, it's counting down. How many days left until college football?
Thursday.
4 days.
And it feels like it outside, too. Does it not? It feels like a little... You get the breeze outside of fall.
Well, yeah. We've been here for 2 weeks now on campus, and you're inching for it. You're waiting for something.
I know. And unfortunately, this Saturday, our Alabama Crimson Tide will be playing in Dallas, our very own,
and Gabby I'll be square too. Dancing we'll, in we'll Texas.
He's
getting all sorts of sound for the show, right?
Oh, absolutely! I'm gonna wear a GoPro camera up there in the upper deck, and we're gonna see it firsthand
on our Crimson Tide game day on every Saturday. We will be talking to Cameron live from Cowboy Stadium in Dallas.
But yeah, that's going to be fun. I can't wait to be out there. Yeah. I'm super excited.
And there's also great new material on the website this year. Station director Luke DeVos has done a good job. We're going to have a lot of articles, a lot of fun videos. Cam's going to go crazy in Jerry World for you, so you're going to want to check that out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait.
A lot of exciting things going on with the station this year, yeah, so and can't wait to get it.
And an exciting new segment that we have for you today, Four Down Territory. A show that Johnny and Luke
we're encompassing it.
Started off last year.
Last year.
The midnight show, but
graveyard shift, baby.
We will be breaking
promoted
Four Down Territory into four questions, football related, college football, NFL related, and I'll be asking these guys and they'll pretty much be giving their spiels,
dropping
some knowledge, breaking them down.
Educating.
So let's not wait any further. Very first question of Four Down Territory, first down. Let's go. With the Buffalo Bills naming Tyrod Taylor their starting quarterback earlier today, what do you expect from that team? Where do they finish, and does Taylor give them the best chance to compete in the AFC East? Cam, we'll start off with you.
Yeah, I do think Taylor does give them the best chance to compete in the AFC East. He's gone 24 for 31 for 236 yards, rushed for 108 yards. This preseason, let's not forget either, Taylor set a team record for touchdown passes in his senior campaign at Virginia Tech. He also led the Hokies to an undefeated record in ACC play and also to their fourth ACC title in 7 years. Now, the Bills are hoping Taylor brings some stability to their quarterback position because this is a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 1999, and they've been scrambling to find the right guy in that quarterback position. So I think he is the right guy. Now, their finishing record, I'm not sure where they're going to finish because I do have them as a sleeper team, hopefully over 500 because I do have their defense and their special teams on my fantasy football team. But let's be realistic here. That is a tough division, especially with the Dolphins and the Patriots this year. I'll give them 8-8.
It's a little more generous than I go. I got the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park, New York, finishing at a lackluster 7-9, which is disappointing considering that, speaking of the defense, you look at the defensive line with Rex Ryan infusing his defensive mind into that AFC East contender. I think they finished third in the AFC East behind both New England and Miami. They don't sniff the postseason. As far as Tyrod Taylor is concerned, I like it. Why not go with them? He was a consistent backup in Baltimore for Flacco for all these years. Now, a small sample size in the NFL, he hasn't had the opportunity. The man's only had 35 attempts in his career. He's never thrown a touchdown. He's got two picks to his name. But I like it. I believe EJ Manuel was a poor pick when Buffalo selected him 16th overall in 2013 out of Florida State. And I think to this point that Matt Castle in his career, he's Brian Hoyer 2.0.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing because you look up and down this roster, Matt Castle, EJ Manuel, Tyrod Taylor. It's like, really? I got to pick from those three.
Chris Sims.
Yeah.
He's their fourth string.
I think that a guy who can give them a spark, who's given them the spark in the preseason, has been Taylor.
Absolutely. Best man for the job. That's how every quarterback race should be.
You got to go with the guy that gives you the most momentum heading into the season as well.
And you got a lot of potential right now on that team. You bring in a guy like Shady McCoy in a defense who's supposed to be, you know, Rex Ryan is, you know, he's proven over the few years what he can do on that defensive side
of
the ball.
New ownership group in Buffalo. Yeah. Everything is different in northern, Western New York. No, they weren't.
They weren't on Hard Knocks this year. It was the Texans. Yeah. Okay.
And what's interesting, other news coming out of Buffalo today, that was Fred Jackson. Their veteran running back was released, and their new offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, from the San Francisco 49ers, he implemented a system where it's pretty much run first. You know, a little play action here and there, a little West Coast here and there.
Rex Ryan loves his ground and pound.
They're moving forward. Fred Jackson, old legs. You got new legs in with LeSean McCoy.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. In this type of situation, it might have been nice to have a veteran guy here. Obviously, Shady McCoy is going to have the bulk of the carries, but why not have a guy?
I mean, how many running backs last 9 years in the league with one team? He was drafted in 2006 by Buffalo. That's all he knows.
Good work for Fred Jackson.
Impressive stuff for Fred Jackson. Give all the credit, but I mean,
sometimes you wake up, you just don't have it anymore.
Yeah,
it's the harsh reality. It's football. You wake up and your legs just aren't there.
Yeah, second down. Moving on. We'll keep it in the NFL with the rookies. Rookie talk here. Rookies have been showing out so far in the preseason. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Amari Cooper last night. But which rookie will have the most impact on their team in 2015?
I think we agree on this one. Cam?
Yeah, no doubt Amari Cooper. Yeah. But starting with the two quarterbacks, the rookies, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Interesting watching these guys in the NFL early on in the preseason. At first, to me, they seemed a little bit rattled. You know, Marcus Mariota, especially in the Falcons game, he really didn't seem up to par or like himself in his college days, but he's starting to get the hang of things. You know, he seems more steadier than Winston. Now, Amari Cooper right off the bat has impressed. Last night, what he did,
he made Peterson
Patrick
look like
Peterson.
A fool.
Goodness gracious, Amari's going to be something special in the NFL. So I'm going to go with Amari Cooper. Not a homer pick right here, just a realistic pick. You know, let's be honest, he's making a three-time Pro Bowler look silly. So Amari Cooper's my guy.
I'm going with him. No, you're going to get no rebuttal from me.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think he's going to make the most impact. He's probably the best stats. And a couple of our guys I wanted to bring up, the running backs, Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. Gurley obviously hasn't played much because recovering from his ACL injury last season. But do you see a big impact from both Gordon or Gurley? And which guy do you think will propel himself in the league?
Oh, I think Melvin Gordon right off the bat is going to be something special too in the league. I mean, he's just one of those guys that has the natural ability to run the ball hard, to run it downhill. And so we all saw what he could do at Wisconsin, how powerful of a back he was there. I think that's going to translate to the National Football League as well. And the same for Gurley, regardless of the injury. I mean, he's one of the most talented running backs to ever play the game of football, and he's a very physical back too. So both of these guys are something special to be added to the league, and I expect a lot of good things to come from the both of them.
In the short term, I would expect Melvin Gordon to take the lead. Right now, he's not coming off that ACL. In the long term, I think Gurley is an absolute freak. I mean, you're talking Adrian Peterson, eventually Leonard Fournette kind of athleticism in St. Louis. Jeff Fisher's more of an old school, likes to run the ball more. Mike McCoy in San Diego. Phillip Rivers, they like to spread things out. A little West Coast offense there. So at least with their tenures with these teams specifically, I expect Todd Gurley to have the better
They career. Were both plugged into good systems because I do feel like even though San Diego likes to spread the field, that's going to help open the door for Melvin
and
Gordon's
Wisconsin,
run game.
Wisconsin's always known for their big backs, but they're always versatile in the sense that they can catch the ball out of the backfield. Monty Ball, James White, of course, Gordon did it last year. I think it's a good fit for both.
Yeah, we saw
backs.
That versatility with Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley, too, at Georgia.
Yeah.
He's dangerous on that screen pass.
I'll stay here to end second down. If Gurley stays healthy,
it could get bad.
We're switching gears here to college football. Only 4 days remain until college football kicks off, as we said, but there are still four elite teams who have yet to name a starter. Today, Ole Miss named Chad Kelly their starter, but between Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Ohio State, who are y'all's picks to be under center come Saturday?
We were talking off air, Joe, about the quarterback position in terms of the University of Alabama and the University of Georgia. They're looking for a similar guy. Me and you agreed upon that. Just somebody that can manage the game, somebody that, doesn't try to do anything too special. We're not looking for anybody, elite, although we would take it. But honestly, just a game manager. And so for Alabama, I do think it's going to be Jake Coker taking the snaps on Saturday. I would expect him to be under center in the Wisconsin game. Saban's already come out and said that he's going to play more than one guy. But, for Georgia, we talked about Lambert and some of the other guys they have there.
Bryce Ramsey.
And then they have a guy that's similar to Blake Sims, I know, competing for the starting job as
senior.
Well. And so for LSU, Brandon Harris is looking to be the guy this year again. I'm kind of worried about that offense, but Kirk Herbstreit, not so worried. He picked in to win the SEC West. Ohio State,
SEC.
SEC, not just the West.
That's what I want to bring up. Ohio State was a big question. I mean, it's like picking, which Ferrari do you want to drive today?
Exactly.
It's a great problem compared to LSU's poor problem.
Well, were y'all surprised that Braxton Miller got put into the slot back?
I think it's going to be great.
He's the best athlete on the field.
Best decision for that team and his career moving forward.
So who would you go with? Cam, keep going. You've gotten all your quarterbacks through Bama, Georgia, LSU. Who do you got at Ohio State?
Ohio State. To me, it has to be Cardale Jones because of what he did in that playoff. He won arguably the two biggest games for them down the stretch. No, not even arguably. The two biggest games for them last season. So got to go back with Cardale. And T.J. Barrett can still be a threat.
Oh, yeah.
And then Braxton Miller is going to be an offensive weapon for you, too.
Yeah.
On my rundown here is on a home front here in Alabama. Obviously, I believe they're going to start Jacob Coker. And they're going to have him on a short leash, Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin. They're going to give him the opportunity to showcase his talents and why he's the right guy for the job. My advice to Jay Coker would be take the bull by the horns, play with some emotion, play with some passion, make the coaching staff take him off the field. Make a reason. Say, all right, we're going to put Alec in. We're going to put Blake in. We're going to put David in. But there's a reason they want to be hesitant at that time when they take him out of the game.
And you hit the nail on the head right there. That's exactly what Saban is expecting out of Coker, and he's looking for him to do that, Saturday against Wisconsin. Get comfortable, get confident. So you're right on that point.
In Georgia, I got Bryce Ramsey. I think he has the leg up over Lambert because of the whole – it's almost similar to the Blake Sims coincidence of last year that Lambert's transferring from UVA. They say Bryce Ramsey has the locker room. As you saw last year in Tuscaloosa, when you have the locker room, that could go miles. And LSU, real quickly, I got Brandon Harris. When Anthony Jennings was suspended after a burglary earlier in the season, he had all the time at the facility. He had the comfort. He had the cushioning of being the starter. And according to NOLA.com, Harris is light years ahead of Jennings. In Ohio State, in your first two career starts, you beat Alabama and Oregon in the two biggest stages.
In the first start, you whooped up 59-0 on Wisconsin.
There is absolutely no question in my mind. Yeah. He might not be the best quarterback on that roster, but he's the right guy to play quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes in 2015.
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt this segment right here, but going back and watching that 59-0 beatdown Ohio State put on them, it just gives me so much confidence for Alabama heading into the Wisconsin game because how weak and slow their secondary is.
Wisconsin has lost their offensive coordinator, running backs coach, running back Melvin Gordon, head coach. They got a lot to work
with. It could be a long night Saturday at Cowboys Stadium.
For the Badgers, before we head to fourth down real quick, Coker, Fatan Bautz at Georgia, Brandon Harris, and Cardale. That's mine. I think it's going to happen that way.
Solid picks.
Fourth down real quick. I got three games here Three games looking up here for the college football weekend. First one of the year. Utah, Michigan. Who you picking?
Oof. I would like to see Jim Harbaugh in his debut for the Wolverines get it done against Utah, but I think the Utes are going to capture the victory here and get the first win of the season. Over the, I think it's on Fox Sports. I'm not really sure. But you know,
Gus Johnson on the call,
we'll
possibly?
All be tuning in. Yeah. If it's Gus Johnson, I'll tune in for the call alone. But I do think Utah's going to get it done there.
Yeah. Johnny?
I'm also going with the Utes. Of course, all the attention is going to be Harbaugh this, Harbaugh that, Michigan. Don't forget, Utah is a very good football team. They won 9 games last season in a very difficult Pac-12. Last season, Utah went into the Big House and beat UM 26-10. But as we all know, everything is different in Ann Arbor. We've been talking about all these quarterbacks. Jake Rudick or Shane Morris. We don't know who's going to start for Michigan. Yeah. I'm expecting it to be Morris, but you never know. Harbaugh could pull anything out late. The Utah head coach, Kyle Wilmington, he's praised his offensive line. You're looking at an experienced unit here. So I expect them to the quarterback, Travis Wilson, to survey the field. He's going to establish his pocket. He's a very comfortable quarterback. And I expect Utah to pull this out in Michigan. It's a tough place to play in those mountains in Salt Lake City.
Ohio State, Virginia Tech. This is a big game.
Huge game.
The revenge game. For the Buckeyes, are they the underdogs, or is it even going to be a close game?
I think it's going to be a close game just because Blacksburg is a tough place to play, and Virginia Tech and Frank Beamer, that's a tough team to go against. And then don't also forget they're missing Joey Bosa and their H-back Jalen Marshall, just two of four suspended players, so that could be a cause for distraction for Ohio State. I do think they're going to get the win. But just barely. There's going to be a lot of big plays for them, and there's going to be opportunities for Virginia Tech to sneak up on them as well. So it could be a toss-up, but I think Ohio State gets
it. I agree that Ohio State wins. I think it's a rout. I think it's an absolute blowout. The way I look at this, I was in Blacksburg. I was in Lane Stadium about 2 weeks ago. What a gorgeous campus they have there in Western Virginia.
What were you doing there?
We were on the way home. I was driving from Boston, Massachusetts, all the way down here.
Just made a pit stop.
We stopped there, and then we stopped in Neyland. It was a great football tour. But, you know, I think Urban Meyer is a master motivator. You're looking at their token loss from last season. And don't get me wrong, that's one difficult place to play a football game. But I think he has his Buckeyes ready. He got Ezekiel Elliott. He's got 12-gauge. I'm going with Buckeyes.
Now, if Virginia Tech – I'm sorry to interrupt you, Joe, but if Virginia Tech does upset Ohio State, do you think this costs – the Buckeyes, everything, are they done? They have no shot at getting back in the playoffs?
No.
I wouldn't say that, because look what happened last
year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's definitely not the foot they want to get started off on, but it
I mean, I just don't see
But their record, their schedule is so weak.
No, that's true, but their schedule was weak last year, and they had the same loss.
I mean, I don't see this game even getting close.
I think it's a blowout.
I'm the only one.
I hope it's close. I hope all these games go overtime, except for this last one we're going to talk about.
The last game, before we head to break. Auburn Louisville, very 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 interesting game. Is Auburn for real? Is Louisville that defense was got mauled last year by Nick Chubb after being ranked first? I mean, who takes it? Tigers cards.
As much as I hate to say it, Auburn is for real. I hate to say it, but they're for real. They're the real deal this year. Jeremy Johnson is a Heisman candidate. They're going to have a dangerous offense. They're going to get it done Saturday against Louisville. But watch out. Bobby Petrino does have dangerous offenses, but Auburn Tigers will get it done.
I'm going with Auburn real quick. Jeremy Johnson's coming out party. Auburn gets to showcase their new look defense led by Will Muschamp. I expect Auburn to go very, very, very fast. I think Auburn wins by at least 2 scores.
I like it. Great segment, guys. Had to finish that up real quick there at the end. But when we come back from break, more college football talk. You guys up for that?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Don't turn that dial. You're listening to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. We'll be right back.
WVUA Tuscaloosa, 90.7 FM.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course!
catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel!
The Forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
We're back, folks. Skinner bringing us in.
Lennon.
Always had to get him onto the show, give him some love.
Always got to make room for Skinner.
Always, always. And you always have to make room for more college football talk.
Obviously.
And that is what exactly what we'll be doing today in our third segment. You know, I don't think we're opposed to that. Anyone listening is opposed to that.
I could talk college football for the next 48 hours straight, no food and water if I really wanted to. But I'm not, for health's sake.
We'd be touching on D2, D3 teams.
Yeah. Speaking of D2 and Montana and North Dakota State, they kicked it off.
That was awesome.
They kicked it off.
Brent Musburger, Musburger on the call there? Wow.
That you know, that's a place I'd like to see a football game now.
Yeah,
that place was electric. I know that's the biggest game they'll have in the last decade against the defending national champion.
And Dakota State Bison. They lost the game to Montana. Wow. Congratulations to Montana.
Yeah. Go Grizz.
Tough place to
go
play.
Go Grizz. Speaking of Division I football and the Power 5, we'll do a little Power 5 conference breakdown here right now on the third segment here on the student section. We all know the Power 5, the ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12 and SEC. I'm going to ask both of y'all. I'll do it myself too. We're going to rank every single conference, and give our winner. There would be a Pac. There would be championship games, but since the Big 12 does not have, or the Big 12 isn't eligible for a championship, we'll flat out say our winners. So, Johnny, do you want to kick us off here? Yeah,
For it. We're going to start with the most powerful conference in all the land. That would be the Southeastern Conference. And it pains me to say this, but I have Auburn knocking Georgia off in a rematch of the Deep South's oldest rivalry. So this is not a knock on Alabama, folks, that are listening. This is an acknowledgement of the talent that the Auburn Tigers have, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think with a combination of Jeremy Johnson, who I believe is going to be the best quarterback in this conference, and Will Muschamp on defense, he gets to focus completely on the defense. I think that'll have a huge dividend for the Auburn Tigers, and I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. They're going to represent the conference in the college football playoff camp.
Alabama is back in Atlanta this season to defend their Southeastern Conference championship against the Tennessee Volunteers. They get it done in the East.
Yeah.
It's the year of the Vols, and I say Alabama beats them twice this season, once in Bryant-Denny, once in the Georgia Dome. Alabama comes away SEC champions once again in 2015.
I wish I could agree with Cam here, but I'm going to go with Johnny. From what I've seen right now, the Auburn Tigers are they can get scary. And the thing is, they have Georgia and Alabama at home,
but they also go to A&M and LSU.
Yeah. And I'm not particularly sold on A&M yet. LSU, just quarterback issues. We don't know. Benefit of the doubt going the Tigers' way. I think they rematch with the Dogs, Georgia Bulldogs. They beat them both times.
Real quick. How big of an impact is Muschamp going to have on that Auburn defense? I know we were talking about it off air.
Once game eight, game seven comes up, they could get real good. I think they're going to struggle at first just because it's a new bunch of guys. But as we've seen with new defenses,
I will say this though: they don't have the talent yet. They don't have the talented players. Muschamp can't get out there.
The biggest mistake
play linebacker.
South Carolina did this year was not locking down Muschamp when they had the chance. Yeah, Auburn got the best defensive mind
all I'm
next
saying
to Nick
is
Saban.
Muschamp can't get out there and play linebacker or safety for these guys.
That's
they're going to have to mentally
I hope
and
you're
physically
right, but I just
translate it all to the field for Auburn.
And that's what the beauty of football. We can't wait to see. We're going to move on to the Pac-12 now. I got a little bit of a dark horse here. Pac-12, I got Taylor Kelly and the Arizona State Sun Devils. I think Taylor Kelly is an absolute stud. They have a huge opening game versus A&M. I expect the Sun Devils to play a fast, quick, efficient brand of the spread. All these teams now, especially in the West Coast, we play a spread, we go fast. If you're going to play the spread, you're going to know how to play the spread. And I think Arizona State utilizes that offense to its maximum potential. And I'm taking ASU to win the Pac-12, and that's my surprise pick of the Power 5 conferences.
You know, I would have said USC, but I don't think Steve Sarkisian and that team has it all together right now, especially with the off-the-field issues going on with Pat Hayden, the athletic director down there in Los Angeles, and Steve Sarkisian. But I'm right there with you, Johnny, in Arizona State. I see them getting into the college football playoff as well. That game versus Texas A&M right off the bat this Saturday is very intriguing, enticing to me as a college football fan. But I think the Sun Devils, they do have what it takes to run the table in the Pac-12, and do expect them to be there at the very end of it.
Joe, who do you got for the Pac-12?
You know, aside from all the talk and the bolstering that Steve Sarkisian did this past week, I think USC is going to be very good this year.
Talent.
So much talent. There's so much untapped talent that from now, from the days when the suspension and the restrictions for that program, they're back. Cody Kessler is a Heisman candidate. He might be the front runner behind Trevon Boykin. Juju Smith, I mean, all these great talented guys who have Reggie Bush-like speed. And they recruit them. They recruit the 4.4 speed, and it can get nasty there in the Coliseum.
I just want to say, I hope people are not downplaying what's going on over there in USC, because there were a lot of people, even USC boosters, that were calling for Sarkisian's head. They were calling for his firing.
Yeah.
This is a big, big issue here, and that could play as a distraction moving forward for that team. And so that gives opportunities for Arizona State and Oregon to capture.
But also, let's not sleep on UCLA. Josh Rosen.
Jim Moore Jr.
And they're talented. All-purpose guy, Jack said, this guy's the real deal.
He could, big shoes to fill, though.
Yeah, he could win a Heisman soon, he said, Miles Jack. Let's move on. Third-ranked conference, who you guys got?
I'm going to go with the Big 12, and speaking of Heisman candidates earlier, I agree with you. Trevon Boykin, I believe, is without a doubt the Heisman frontrunner. The last 2 years, I picked Taj Boyd, then I picked Brent Hundley, winning the Heisman. I've been nowhere close, so this year I said, I'm just going to go with the front runner. I'll go with Boykin. Friday, November 27th, a huge rematch against Baylor, which is going to be the faux Big 12 championship game, where I think the Horned Frogs and their stellar quarterback are going to silence the critics, if there are any out there. And I think TCU is going to end up being a 2 seed in the college football playoff.
Yeah, the Big 12 is dangerous with Baylor and TCU this season. A lot of people think Oklahoma can still try to, you know, pester their way to the top in that conference. It really depends on if they can get it done against
Tennessee. Baker Mayfield, the transfer from Texas Tech, he's a real deal out there in Norman.
But it is the battle between Baylor and TCU in that game Friday, November 27th on ESPN between the two top teams in the Big 12 is going to say it all. But at the end of the day, I feel like TCU comes away atop and they make their way into the playoff and have a potential Heisman candidate and Boykin on their team.
I mean, that's the thing. Big 12 is just so top heavy with Baylor and TCU. You got teams who we grew up watching, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, who are impressive. But obviously they're not expected to compete against the likes of Baylor and TCU.
Oklahoma State and Kansas State, very good teams in their own respect, not getting the proper respect they probably deserve.
I don't see any team outside of the Big 12 beating these two teams. So if both teams for some reason get into the mix in the playoff, I mean, if both teams go 11-0, meet together in the last meeting, it could get interesting. I have them ranked third in overall too. Let's move on to our fourth segment, or our fourth ranked. Johnny, who you got?
The defending national championship Ohio State Buckeyes, they're going to win the Big Ten here. I don't think much of an explanation is actually needed. They got a weak schedule. In my estimations, they're the best team in the nation. Experience and the coaching staff led by, in my mind, the second best coach in college football behind our very own Nick Saban. I think Ohio State waltzes back to Lucas Oil Stadium and the Buckeyes win another Big Ten championship. Cam?
I agree with you. I can't help but to agree. They play in such a weak league. They have such a weak schedule. I mean, there's no really competition there besides Michigan State. Nobody's standing in their way.
Even the Nebraskas and the Wisconsins and Penn State, there's no team that stands out that's going to challenge them.
Maybe Michigan could give them a run for the money.
Rivalry games, anything happens.
Yeah, anything can happen, but right now it's Ohio State's. It's theirs to lose, all of it.
I mean, don't sleep on Michigan State.
Absolutely not. SEC-caliber defense, Mike D'Antoni puts on the field.
Very talented team in East Lansing.
I think behind Alabama, I think they might have the most impressive front seven in all of college football.
And they know how to win, too.
Yeah, Connor Cook, I mean, he guy who is his 3-year starter, going to come up to his senior year. I mean, got revenge games against Oregon, got revenge games against against Ohio State. I mean, it could get – I mean, East Lansing will good things will happen. I think Ohio State is the premier team in that league, Michigan, a few years down the road. But other than that, I mean, it's selective there. You don't really know who to go with. Who else is in the Big 12? I mean, a Big 10. I mean, Illinois just –
Fired their Beckham's out.
A week ago before week the ago. Season. Talk about chaos.
I mean, I'm looking at a team that can go 1-11, 2-10, just for that fact. I mean, if are guys still coming together? Are they figuring it out?
Big Ten's weak. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. This. It's just a very weak conference, and let's be honest, the SEC runs the show. It's the biggest.
Except for the national championship, though. You want to talk about top heavy, fair and square. I'm an SEC guy. Their poster boy beat our poster boy. Yeah. So I got to tip my hat to the Big Ten. I really do. Although how weak the conference is.
Yeah, but that was last year.
We're looking forward. We're going to go to the final power conference, which would be the Atlantic Coast Conference in the ACC. Oof. And I think it's between two teams. You got Florida State and Clemson. Florida State loses 8 starters off their offense. Clemson loses 8 starters off their defense. I think in this crazy world, defense still wins championships. Also, so I'm going to go with Florida State. I also think Florida State, Jimbo Fisher, I think they're being incredibly disrespected. I think they lose Jameis Winston, obviously. They lose all those starters on offense. But at the same time, Everett Golson, last time he was in Tallahassee, he played one hell of a game when Notre Dame went down and nearly upset Florida State. I like the Noles to win the ACC yet again.
It's not the Noles year this year for me. It's all Clemson. Okay. I'm going with Dabo Sweeney. They got big games at home. They got Notre Dame at home.
What's
Saturday.
Up with names of ACC coaches? Dabo. Jimbo? My goodness.
Dabo's a solid name. Former Crimson Tide player right there. You know, they host Notre Dame this season, also host Georgia Tech. And then the big one Saturday, November 7th, they have Florida staying at home. I think this is Clemson's year, honestly. A lot of people have them sleepers in the college football playoff. I don't know if they can go that far this year, but I do expect them to win the ACC.
Joe, you got rather Clemson or Florida State?
I mean, I think it's a good pick either way. It's a toss-up, but I think if Deshaun Watson can stay healthy, he's a Heisman candidate. We saw what he can do. If Clemson just doesn't pull a Clemson, if they can just get it together in Clemson, you just don't know what's going to happen there.
They had every opportunity to win that game against Florida State last year.
So many missed opportunities have just been the MO for this team.
But look what the note they left on last year in the bowl game. They destroyed Oklahoma.
They
annihilated is the word I'd use.
And I mean, also don't sleep on Georgia Tech either.
No.
A team, Justin Thomas.
A lot of momentum for both those teams heading into the season.
Very impressive.
If Virginia Tech starts off with a week one victory, you could look at a 6-0, 7-0 Virginia Tech
exactly.
team.
Exactly. A lot of fun here on the student section, and just so much to look forward to this upcoming football season. Obviously, it starts Thursday. We'll kick it off Saturday. But so many important games, and we don't know how it's going to play out. No one does until the final whistle's blown. But when we come back, we'll have a little fun here ourselves. Over under. We'll do some game show type stuff here when we turn here on 90.7 The Capstone. You're listening to the student section.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Apply first aid to treat cuts and scrapes and prevent infection. To care for a bleeding cut, put pressure on it until the bleeding has stopped. Clean the wound by gently pouring clean tap or bottled water over it. Next, apply a clean, dry bandage. If you think the cut is infected, get medical help as soon as possible. To learn more, call CDC at 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private.
Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses.
Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking about you.
He suspects nothing.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Find out how you can live United for Education. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We protect the air you breathe and the water you drink.
We stop drugs, terrorists, and weapons from entering our streets.
These men and women are federal employees. They provide vital services for the American public.
We protect the American food supply from foodborne illnesses.
We protect investors from insider trading, false information, and fraud.
Thanks to federal employees, not one bank depositor has lost a single cent.
Federal employees. They work for us. Go to theyworkforus.org.
I'm Mitch Gaspard, head baseball coach here at University of Alabama. You're listening to the Student Section, 90.7.
We are back here for our final segment of the day.
I really hope that no one heard me singing. Did that catch me?
Oh, I mean, I didn't hear. I mean, I don't know.
I love this song, so I have to sing along. It's like a great road trip song.
It is Eric Church. You can never go wrong with Eric Church, and you can never go wrong listening here to 90.7 The Capstone, the student section.
That was click. That was clever.
Me, Johnny Condon, Cam 2 here with you on our final section of our first meeting together of the semester.
First of many. Every Monday, you want to park it right here at 3 o'clock Central Time.
Time flies when you're having a little bit of fun.
To kick off our final segment of the day, we're going to do a little interesting thing. We're going to do some over-under. We're going to do some buy or sell, just all included. Talk some MLB, some interesting college football facts as we make our countdown to 4 more days until we get to see a kickoff. So,
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's not waste any more time. Over under here. Missouri. 8 losses for the Missouri Tigers. Right at 8.
Oh, I got to go under.
Under.
Yeah, under 8. I don't think they're going to have 8 or more losses this season. You know, the past 2 seasons they've been into the SEC East representative in the SEC Championship. They do have a challenging schedule ahead of them, but they could run the table in the East once again this season.
I'm going under too. We're looking at a team that just has absolutely no respect from any team in this conference, and you can understand why in certain aspects when Joe's Georgia Bulldogs absolutely rolled them, yet they get to represent the East in the championship when they're losing to Indiana at home. And so I can understand that sentiment, but at the same time, you need to respect the fact that they've gone to Atlanta 2 straight years. Granted, they've gotten blown out in both those games, but I definitely think the Missouri Tigers not only are going to have less wins, they're going to have a winning record, in my opinion.
So 11-3 to possibly a 7-5, 8-4.
It could be a possibility. It all depends on how good Tennessee and Georgia actually are this season and how they play against some of their Western foes, too.
Yeah.
So it's a mixture of things. But I agree with Johnny. Let's give the respect they deserve to him off the bat.
I mean, Road Warriors. I mean, 5-0 on the road. Matty Mock.
Gary Pickle.
He gets it done. Mm-hmm. You could. He has so many flaws you could point out.
Throw the deep ball pretty well.
I mean, guy's a gamer. Obviously, we saw what happened in the SEC championship. Maybe if there's Georgia there, but who knows?
He got processed. That's what happened.
Who knows? another team sticking in the SEC East that has a lot of people's attention are the Tennessee Volunteers. A lot of people, including ESPN's own Kirk Herbstreit, expecting them to win the SEC East over the likes of Georgia and the Missouris. Johnny's in there shaking his head. I will throw it out here. Tennessee over under 9 wins.
Oof.
Under. I don't think they're ready to necessarily compete with the likes of Georgia. And even right now, from week 1, if they were playing, I would pick Missouri to beat Tennessee. I'm not buying Josh Dobbs quite yet. I can understand the talent. I can understand why the prognosticators and these analysts that sit in their ESPN high chairs all dialed up in their suits would understand that Tennessee, that's a team that a network like ESPN wants to be good. That's a hotbed for college football. That's a historic powerhouse that can cram 110,000 people if you want it into Neyland Stadium. I'm just not ready to buy them yet. I think they're on the right track with Butch Jones, but at the same time, you look at what Mark Richt has done in Georgia the last decade and a half. I'm not ready to one-up them, leapfrog Georgia, not me.
I'm buying them. I got Tennessee over 8 wins. I actually got them maybe at least 10 wins. Wow. I think they beat Oklahoma. They play Arkansas at home. They have to travel down to Florida. Florida's not going to be up to par. They got Georgia at home. They'll lose to Alabama on the road, and then they go to Kentucky, have South Carolina. At Missouri will be their biggest game down the stretch in the East. I got them in my SEC championship. It's going to be a big year for the Vols.
Real quick, we haven't talked about South Carolina at all. This is a team that had much bigger expectations than they've delivered last year. Steve Spurrier just turned 70. That's not an easy place to play a football game, and I expect South Carolina to rebound a little bit. So that's another wild card team that I think might be able to contend in the East.
And fortunately, Tennessee doesn't have to travel to Columbia this season. They have some big games at home. And I expect them to have a great year in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go east a little bit, or west, actually, to the SEC West. Arkansas, expected to have a huge year by the maybe an 8-4. I mean, contend for this title. You're looking down the list, everyone contend for this title. But who do you see? I mean, how do you see this team falling up? Arkansas, over, under 8 wins.
I got them over 8 wins right now. I do believe they're still going to pack a powerful punch this season. With the loss of Jonathan Williams, though, I don't think they're going to be as dangerous because of that lack of running back depth that they lose with having sustained Jonathan Williams to injury. Now, they do play in Tuscaloosa this season, mm-hmm. which is always a tough place to play. At Tennessee, they do have big games like A&M, Mississippi State at home. They also travel to Baton Rouge and Oxford, Mississippi. Tough schedule for them. So they may be looking at 8 wins, directly 8 wins, or just over 8 wins. But I'm still expecting a good year out of the Razorbacks.
I'm going under 8 wins, and that's no knock on the University of Arkansas or Brett Bielema. I think it's under because, you look, they have to play the SEC West, as always.
I
said it last year. If you moved Arkansas to the East, they might have been the best team in that conference. And you said, oh, it's a running back. You can sustain an injury. Not the way they play. The running back is the most important asset on that team. And Jonathan Williams requiring season-ending surgery. I have under 8 wins for a it's disappointing, but I have under 8 wins for the Razorbacks.
Hey, but let's be honest. The return of Brandon Allen at quarterback and how big that offensive line is. They got some good tight end play, too. Did they could be dangerous offensively.
I think you can't overlook the loss of Jonathan Williams. I mean, the two running back system that Brett Bielema and Arkansas has implemented the past couple of years has just been unstoppable. And Alex Collins he's a capable back. You know, he might be one of the SEC's best. I mean, he gets overlooked because of the Nick Chubbs.
And keep in mind, Fournette's. They lost their best defensive player in Trey Flowers. That might have been the most underrated player in the SEC last year.
He's coming in the NFL draft, making some big names for himself, Trey Flowers. But we'll kick it back out here to buy or sell as we get into our closing minutes of our show. All right, guys, first question. If TCU and Baylor meet undefeated, are they both locks for the playoffs? Are you buying or selling both teams getting into the playoffs
I think it depends on how close the game is. I hate to kind of pussyfoot you here and go under you with this answer. I would love to say that they would both go in, but at a conference that didn't even send one team to the college football playoff last year, I think nothing close to a triple overtime one-point game that involves a blocked extra point would put them both in. So I'm going to say probably no.
If they go undefeated, both go 11-0. It'd be 1-2.
And that's their one big game.
If they're both undefeated, whoever wins that game gets in. Whoever loses doesn't get in. Simple as that. You can't have two big 12 teams in. No.
I agree.
Okay. Keeping on the side of the playoff, a two-loss SEC team, Alabama, Auburn, an impressive will take over a one-loss ACC team, maybe Florida State or a Clemson.
Yes, I think so. I think you look at, especially if it's an SEC West team, you look at the degree of difficulty that the schedule is in SEC when you got to go to Auburn, you go to Oxford, you come to Tuscaloosa, you go to A&M. It is absolutely grueling. And if you got the Virginia Tech Hokies or Georgia Tech that gets to go beat up on Rutgers or Boston College, I'll take the two-loss SEC team any day of the week.
I'll agree with Johnny. Two losses, they can still get in, especially with how weak that ACC schedule is. But, hey, it's going to be another big year right here on WVUA 90.7, the Cast on. I'm excited to wrap it up with you guys. But we have
one more question.
We're not going anywhere. We're hitting the gun right here. I heard the music.
And I wanted to bring this up. Harbaugh, he kicks it off this weekend, this week, Thursday. Buy or sell, the 49ers have more wins than the Michigan Wolverines.
Oh. I'm going to buy that one. I'm going to buy it. I don't think Harbaugh, he has all the hype, that's for sure. He'll have the khakis, but he's not going to have the wins. 49
so you think the 49ers will have more wins?
I do. I think they will.
I think the Niners are going to be better than prognosticators are saying they're going to be. At the same time, I'm going to sell that because I think Michigan still plays in the Big Ten last time I checked. Other than that.
All right, guys. That's it for Johnny Cong and Joe Klingbuehl. I'm Cameron, too. Thank you for joining us right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
Roll Tide.
Same time, same place next week. Roll Tide, everybody. Michael Jordan, don't do it.